And so I bid you all grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father, from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. My brothers and sisters in Christ, they were astonished beyond measure, saying, "He has done all things well." Now, in order to get the import of that saying, we need to understand that what the people were really saying is this: He has done everything that it was said the Messiah would do. These folks from the Decapolis, largely Gentiles, were acknowledging that Jesus is the promised Messiah. Now, they didn't understand the full import of that any more than anyone else did prior to Jesus' death and resurrection, but that they got that Jesus is Messiah is still something. And similarly, while we are shocked at Jesus' treatment of that woman whose daughter was possessed, we mustn't lose sight of the fact that she addresses him by messianic titles. Mark condenses the incident, but in Matthew, it's reported that when she pleaded with him, she said to him, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy." Even though she was a Gentile, she got it, at least to some extent. And you may have noted that Mark is inspired to report these two incidents right on the heels of Jesus' confrontation with the representatives of the leaders from Jerusalem. The apparent leaders of Israel didn't get it. They couldn't see who Jesus was. They were blinded by their hatred of him and by their making tradition into an idol. But the Gentiles, they did get it. And why? Well, at least in part because they trusted Jesus. And what is trust? Well, it turns out Mr. Monkbeyer, the sixth grade homeroom teacher over at Concordia, invited me to lead a devotion for the sixth graders this week during their outdoor education experience. And the theme of their experience this year was trust in the Lord with all your heart. And he asked me to take some time to unpack exactly what that verse meant. Now, I'm going to spare you the whole devotion. But at the heart of our study was understanding that trust involves reliance, dependence, hope, confidence. And these are not, you know, generic feelings or thoughts that just kind of pop into your head or your heart at random intervals. We trust in specific people. We trust in specific things. And we trust because we have a history with those people, with those things. Over time, experience teaches us what is trustworthy and what isn't. Now, we know that our God is trustworthy. He created us. He has redeemed us. He sustains us. And when we trust deeply in something, then our lives end up being oriented around that thing that we trust, what we rely on, what we depend on. Now, with God, our lives are oriented around the climax of his deeds for us, which is nothing less than the incarnation, the life, and the death, and the resurrection of Jesus. That God, light of light, very God of very God, came to us in humility as one of us in the form of a servant to do what we could not do, in fulfilling all righteousness for us and paying the debt of our sin and overcoming death and the devil, that God has done that for us in Jesus, establishes forever that he is the God who is for us, trustworthy and faithful in all his deeds. And as we come to rely on him and depend on him, all of our passions and our hopes and our fears and our affections and so on are going to be shaped by that relationship that we have with him. And we've noted this more than once over the last few weeks. We come to share a common life with God in Christ. And his love and his charity and his grace and his mercy and his peace slowly but surely become ours as well. So far, so good. But how is it that this Canaanite woman, much less those folks from the Decapolis, came to trust that Jesus was the Messiah, especially when the Jewish leadership of the time didn't? Well, in the case of the mother, we don't really know. We can guess. In her case, it was the need. No one could help her girl. Possession is an awful thing. Because she needed Jesus and she knew that she needed Jesus, all of her hope, all of her wants, all of her future was staked on him and him alone. She had to trust, had to rely on him because she literally had nothing else to fall back on. And it's a frightening thing, and some of us have been there, right? Maybe it was something having to do with health or an accident or something happening at work, but some of us have had one of those moments, or maybe more than one, when it was either God would come through for us for the sake of his love for us in Christ, or it was nothing. And while we don't really like the helplessness of those times, we don't like the panic, the fear, we know that when God acts, when deliverance comes, faith is strengthened. And our confidence and our hope is something different than what it previously was. Anyway, that woman, she knew she needed Jesus, and so she would not let him go. Now, we don't need to speculate on why he treated her the way he did. What is central is that she saw him for who he was, and she saw herself for who she was, and she trusted in his goodness. Yes, he was Israel's promised Messiah. Fine. Yes, she was not from Abraham's bloodline. Fine. But God's promise was that in blessing and redeeming Israel, the Messiah would be a blessing to all nations. In feeding the children, there would be more than enough for everyone else as well. And that she accepted, that there would be enough for her and for her daughter too. And that's what gets us on the days when our trust is kind of shaky, flagging. We fear that there may not be enough for all. And we see that in the world around us all the time, right? There are haves and there are have-nots. So when God starts blessing others in Christ, we sometimes fear that there's not going to be enough for us too. But there's always more than enough. And the crumbs from his table are meal enough for all. That woman believed this, and she trusted this, and she received blessing, the blessing that Christ gave. Now, as for the folks down in the Decapolis, we have a little more to go on in terms of how they came to trust Jesus. For it turns out, by at least one effort to kind of set Jesus' public ministry onto a timeline, Jesus had been in that same region about a year earlier. And at that time, he had encountered a man possessed by a demon who no one could bind. He was so strong. And the man would cut himself and live by the tombs and cry out. And when Jesus confronted him, he commanded the unclean spirits to depart. And they begged Jesus that they would be permitted to go into a herd of pigs that was nearby. And Jesus let them. And then the demons made those pigs jump off the cliff into the lake and drown themselves. Well, the villagers came and they asked Jesus to leave, but that formerly possessed man begged that he might go with Jesus. And the Lord said to him, "No, you stay here. You tell your family, your friends, the great things that God has done for you." And so the man remained there in the Decapolis as a witness. And now, a year later, the people of that same region bring this deaf man who has a speech impediment to Jesus. And they trust him. They trust that he has the power to heal. They trust that he has the will and the desire to heal. And so Jesus does. Ephphatha. Be opened. Jesus is trustworthy. And opens up those who were closed off from God, from grace, from life. Now there's a way in which we can say that Jesus has spoken those same words to each and every one of us. Be open. Maybe he spoke those words to you in holy baptism. For others, they heard him speaking when they heard the gospel. Jesus clearly commanded each and every one of us, be opened. And so we were. And the Holy Spirit came in. And Jesus does all things well. And the Spirit turns us to faith and gives us life. Which means that we too can trust the Lord. He is faithful. And now all our hopes and our affections and our desires and our passions and so on are to be shaped by him, by his life. He's the one who gives us direction. So what will our lives look like when we do this, or as this is done to us? Well, I think first and obviously, like that Canaanite woman, we will be bold to plead with Christ for what we need, and we will be content that what he provides really is what we need. Now, sometimes I don't know that we are nearly as bold in prayer as we are given to be. And by boldness here, I don't mean that we are audacious, right? You know, it's not that we need to be asking for Maseratis or new homes. Nor do I mean boldness being, you know, really super passionate as if that was going to be what would change the tenor of our prayers. No, the boldness that Scripture sets before us is confidence and persistence. That is, if there is something that you are desperate for and you know it is within the realms of what God wants you to pray for, then be like the psalmist. In boldness and confidence, in faith and hope, cry out, God, grant it. And don't just pray once, pray often. confident that you will be answered, even if you don't know when and how. And then, like the people of the Decapolis, we will also seek to bring those in need to Jesus. Now, this is a hard and scary thing to do these days, right? I mean, we're intimidated by the culture around us. We fear being viewed as bigoted or ignorant or backward. But just let all that go. Jesus is here. And if you have a friend, if you have family in the area who are close to God, then invite them to come with you. Let them see what really goes on here, right? We don't spend all of our time together condemning people that we disagree with. We don't constantly talk about how awful this group of people or that group of people is. We don't ballyhoo for one political party over another. The reason the culture has such a skewed view of what church does is because the only ones reporting on the church are ones who don't actually go. Let those whom you know become demystified. Now, they may not like it. They may not come back. But on the other hand, they may hear Jesus say to them, "Ephatha, be opened and come to a new life." Jesus does all things well. So let us trust him and let our lives be shaped by his. Even so, amen. And now may that peace that surpasses all understanding guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus until the glorious day of his appearing. Amen.